It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are in Matthew chapter 22. Okay, if you remember last week, we did Matthew 21, and there we learn Jesus Christ came to the temple, and the people start asking him, what authority you are doing this? Then he explained to them, means he said, I'm going to ask you one question, and then you answer me. I'm not reviewing everything, but the point I'm making here, somebody divide the chapter that Jesus, what he was saying to other people, didn't finish. Last week he gave two parables, and this is the third parable he was giving the same day. That's the point. And in that day, you could see how much busy he was, people asking him hundreds of questions, and he was answering the questions for the same day. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 22, starts from verse 1.
And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy.
Now see here, Jesus Christ giving another parable. This time he is saying, there was a king, and king had the wedding, and he made a feast, and he invited people. But when he invited people, those people didn't pay attention. Then he sent a second invitation. He says, I killed the oxen, I killed the fatted animals, feast is ready, come, you are invited. One person says, well, I have some work in the farm. And some person says, I bought some merchandise, means I have to do some business. Only two people, but example is giving, many people gave many excuses and they didn't want to come. And then he said, there was another person in his kingdom, and he saw some people and he treated them very badly, and he killed them. Now, the reason is not given why this person crazily killing those people for no reason. Now, just guess that these people maybe wanted to go for wedding, and this person didn't want them to go to wedding. Maybe he has something against the king. We don't know, but the answer is not given. And so the news goes to the king, and he says, this person who's supposed to come to the wedding, he's not coming. And the other people, he killed them. And so the king got mad, and he sends the army, and he burns the city and kills those people. Not this one person, but hundreds of people he killed and burned their cities. These people were not even worthy to come to the wedding. So you see, The word of God is saying, we are all invited to the kingdom of God. God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the word of God said the salvation has come to all. That doesn't mean everybody is saved today. They have to receive it by faith. So invitation is given to everyone. The word of God says today is the day of salvation. Every day is the day of salvation. We have to tell the people God is still waiting. He says, "Oh, heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." Jesus Christ is always inviting. That's why Christian people go and tell other people about Jesus Christ. No other religion does that because they want to keep their religion pure. They don't want any other people coming. And some people bring other people with a force. But the Christian religion do not force anybody to come to Christianity. We give them invitation. We tell them, come. The supper is ready. The food is ready. Word of God is called the bread of life. So we are inviting people. Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Come and eat and feed on me. Many people do not understand. This king says they are not even worthy. So don't bother them now. We gave invitation once. We give invitation twice. So now leave them alone. When you go and tell somebody, God loves you, give up your sinful life, listen to the word of God, God is going to bless you, they don't listen. Give them one more chance and talk to them. And if they don't listen, leave them alone. Because their blood is not going to come on you. Book of Ezekiel chapter 3, chapter 33 and chapter 18. All this chapter says, we go and tell the sinners that repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ or come to the Lord. And if that person doesn't listen, you did your part and their blood is not on you. And so, here the king gave the invitation. He said, I made the feast for you. Do you know, king's feast means what? It's not ordinary feast. The king's invitation. King is calling you. You cannot give excuses to king. These people took it so light. Hey, who cares? I'm not going to king's wedding. I'm not going to king's invitation. I have some business to do. And I'm not going to allow other people to go too. I'm going to kill them. And I'm not going and they're not going. But the king destroyed all of those people. And then what the king saying? Let's read the verse 9.
Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless.
Now here we see. The king says, the people I invited, they were not even worthy. Jesus Christ came to his own first. St. John chapter 1 verse 11 it says, he came to his own and his own received him not. So what he did? Then he says in the 12th verse, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the authority to be called the sons of God. That means we were not the sons of God, but Jesus Christ came to the Jewish people first. Even the gospel, Jesus Christ said to the disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what you do? First, preach the gospel in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then uttermost part of the world. So the first chance was given to Jewish people. Paul was called to preach the gospel. Especially God says, I'm calling you as a vessel to Gentiles. But Paul, because he was Pharisee, he was Jewish man, he had the burden to win Jewish people, so he went to Jewish synagogue. And he got a lot of problems, and they don't want to listen to him. Finally, he said, I'm going to shake my garments, my clothes, and I'm going to go to Gentiles. So the word of God says, God has given chance to Jewish people first. But they do not want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, when I come, you will not have visited or evangelized whole Jewish nation till I come. And when I was young, I was listening and reading these scriptures. I said, How come? Jewish nation is very small comparing to the whole world. There are so many countries called Christian countries, but now it's changing. Some of the villages, if you go to India, even though India is a Hindu country, some of the whole villages are Christian. Nobody else but Christian. So when I was thinking in India, there are villages of Christian villages, and no Hindus or no Muslim in that village, all Christians. How come Israeli people, Israeli nation will not be rich at that particular time? But when I came to America, I learned Israeli people do not want Christianity in their country. They are opposing. They don't want any people preaching the gospel. So what the word of God is saying, if you don't want the gospel, okay. This man says, the king says, go to the highways and byways and get the good and bad people and bring them. Now these people were not invited. They didn't know that king has a feast and we are going to go for feast. The highway, anybody, truck drivers or person walking on the street, anybody they find, he say, hey, come on, we have a king's feast and we have lots of food. I don't think they told these people that the people were invited and they didn't come, so we are calling you. No, he said, come, anybody come. He says, good and bad. All people were called. The same way, the gospel is preached for everyone. In India, there is a caste system. You know, this: if the low-caste person cannot marry the high-caste person. And they have all kinds of prejudice there. But here the word of God says, bring anybody. He did not say bring high-caste, low-caste, bring poor or needy. He says good or bad, any persons, come. That's what the Christianity is. We don't tell people, you want to come to church? You better give up your smoking, your drinking, and your dress code, everything before you come to church. And then we will have you. If you say that, nobody will come. There are some churches, they have a dress code. You don't have to wear a pant. You don't have to wear this. You have to have cover your head. You have to have this. If you don't do, you don't come to church. And what happens? They don't go to church at all. And they are closing the door for them. There is a saying, when you catch a fish, before catching a fish, you don't try to clean the scales, do you? You don't go in the water and take the scale out first and then catch a fish. You catch a fish first and then clean it. The same way, if somebody comes to our church and they are not good people, they are bad people, Jesus Christ died for the bad people. And so we invite everybody, welcome. After they come, they listen. They listen, and they listen, and they change. Just like you bring a wood from the jungle, had thorns and thistles and everything. But the person who knows how to make a furniture, they do cut properly, polish properly, and do beautiful furniture. And you say, this is what this tree looked like before. That's the way God does. God's job is and making us worthy to worship Him. Nobody became perfect in one day, but by the blood of Jesus Christ makes that person perfect for the first day. But some people have some old nature pops up here and there. Somebody just think that some person was a plumber or the working construction work, and he always gets the hammer and hits his thumb and he says blasphemy to so many bad words. And just think, he became a Christian. Next day he goes and said, bad word. Oh, I'm sorry. And slowly, slowly, he doesn't say anymore. And so that's the way it is. And so the word of God is saying, all the people, come on in. And they brought all the people to one person, not wearing the wedding garment. I was thinking, all these people came, the king gave everybody to wedding garment. Because this is not an ordinary feast. Your dirty clothes, take it out, maybe take a shower, whatever you want to do, and then wear the wedding gown free. You don't have to purchase nothing. Everything is free. And you wear and then come dignified. So other people come, so, oh, this is king's invited guest. That's what he wanted to show. King invited guest, Sometime we go for baptism service, and somebody says, oh, I was not prepared. I didn't have the underclothes. I don't have a clothes. I say, we have it. We get ready. We get, oh, there is a lady comes, and she said, I am not prepared, but I heard the message, and I'm ready now, but I don't have a cloth. We said, we have a cloth ready. So we prepared everything for the man or the lady before they can take baptism. So I think that king prepared everybody's clothes and everything, enough clothes for everybody. That was nothing like that man didn't get a cloth, and he said, oh, they said there's all the dresses are gone, all the suits are gone. So that's why I said, because he asked the question, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And the word of God said, he was speechless. What does it mean? He made a mistake. He did not want to wear the king's garment. Everybody listens to the word of God. And then when you start reading the word of God, he said, this is what the Bible says. Do not smoke, do not drink, do not do this, do not do that. And they keep on listening. And 20 years later, somebody says, what happened? You are not listening? No. And then 20 years later, if there is an ordination service and somebody was there for 5 years and that person is doing good and pastor makes that person a deacon or a pastor. And somebody says, I was here 20 years. Why you did not ordain me? Sir, you are not living according to the word of God. So it's not automatically seniority and automatically you'll be pastor. Some other churches might do. But the word of God says, when you are born again, God gives us the robe of righteousness. Let's go to the Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
They said, this is the way God prepares you for the wedding. When you receive Jesus Christ, you say, okay, I'm giving you a robe of righteousness. When somebody sees you, hey, I see the righteous man. Last time I saw in the bar, I don't see him in bar anymore. What happened? Changed. He's outwardly changed and inwardly changed. Because now we see Jesus. The word of God says, when you baptize, you are putting on Christ. When the people see, they see Christ in you. Outward appearance changes, inward appearance changes, because God works on your soul and spirit. Go to the Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 and 5.
Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
There are some people in the church, he said, they did not defile their clothes. They are worthy, and they have white garment. Let's read verse 5.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
See what God is saying? If you're living a good Christian life, you're living a victorious Christian life, you overcome all the temptations, and you do not allow the temptation to take over you, and if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you live a godly Christian life. And then he says, then God says, I will clothe him with a white garment. And not only that, he says, I will not take his name out of the God's book. That means he will be there with God forever. And if somebody does something wrong, his name will be out and he will be out and he will go into the darkness. Let's read Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 9.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
See what he's trying to say? The marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife, means the bride, has prepared herself. Means we are the bride of Christ. And if Jesus Christ is our bridegroom, we cannot living a filthy life. We have to change. We have to have put on the new garments, holy garments, clean garments. You see, the ordinary people, the worldly people, when they have a real Christian wedding, did you see their garments? Sometimes they spend $5,000, $10,000 for just the one gown. and look so beautiful. And so if the worldly people spend that much money to marry the worldly person in the world, we are having a spiritual wedding in heaven. So how much our garment should be clean and holy. And so the people who come to church and just think they are not wearing proper clothes, and they hear some kind of message like that, they get the idea, hey, we are Christians. We should appropriate clothes should be wearing when you go to church. And so things like that. So here the word of God is saying, those white garments are what? The righteousness of the saints. If you are a righteous man, you will wear clothes righteously. But this man, he had given the clothes, he had given the opportunity, but he doesn't want it. He said, that's the way I'm going to wear, and no king can tell me anything, and if he doesn't want me to be in wedding, that's okay with me, but this is the way I'm going to wear. What happens to him? Let's read Matthew chapter 22, verse 13.
Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
He doesn't know he's invited as a king's guest. So he said, bind his hands and feet, put him in the darkness, outer court darkness, and there will be gnashing of teeth. This is not talking about the worldly kingdom. He's talking about the heavenly kingdom. Because the people who are not going to listen to the word of God, and they want to be stubborn, and they don't want to listen, and one day will come, they will be cast out in the outer darkness. Verse 14.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Now somebody will say, many were called and few are chosen. The chosen one was putting in outer darkness. He's not saying about that. Many people called before these bad people were called. Many people were invited, send the invitation, second invitation, and they didn't come. And so he said, many were called, but the few are chosen. And so we have to be thankful. There are how many people in the world? All are invited, and they are not taking the call of God. But thank God we have to say, thank you, Jesus, for inviting me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me the church, showing me the word of God. And I am grateful because I am chosen by God. Verse 15.
Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men.
And all parables are pointing towards them, that they are the one who are bad people. And so they thought, we are going to trap him in the words and his teaching. And so they gathered so many people. Here, one kind of company they found, they went to the king's palace maybe, and Herod, and got the Herodians. Means some people work for Herod. And they said, now you come and you ask the question to the Jesus. What question you're going to ask? You're going to ask him, do you believe that the people should pay taxes? And see what he says. What do you think? Just get his idea. If he says, well, I don't think we should pay taxes, then he is against our government. So that's what they got the idea, and that's one group. And then we'll see there are several groups, people were there, but Jesus Christ answered everyone very well. Verse 17.
Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.
Jesus Christ said, you are hypocrites. You are trying to test me. Give me the coin. And they gave the penny. Now the penny was not ordinary like our penny. They call denarii, that one denarii will be a one day's wages pay. So they showed the denarii, and he said, okay, whose picture is this? Caesar. Whose writing is this? Caesar's. So what is belong to Caesar, give it to Caesar. And he added a little bit more, and what is belong to God, give it to God. What he was saying, you give taxes to your government and give your tithe, give it to God, give it to government, what is belong to government. See, the Chinese and other religious people, they thought, we don't want Christianity in our country because they might be teaching against our government. But they found out the Christian people are the more honest, God-fearing, and taking care of the governments. They want to pay taxes. They want to take care of government. They want to be a good citizen. And now Chinese people came to know. They said, hey, we give you freedom. Be Christians because we want good citizens. You go to India, all bribery and everything is going, what do you call, wrong because they have no fear of God. And any country do not have Christianity, those people do more wrong and more harm to government. Because the born-again Christians, they don't break the government law, they don't break God's law. That's why Jesus said, what is belong to the government? Taxes, give it to the government. What is belong to God? Give it to God. And so these people were surprised what Jesus answered. Verse 22.
When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way.
Now they marvel and say, he's not against our government. Let's get out of here. They could not find, so they say, okay, we are getting out of here. But still, that same day, he says, verse 23, the same day, they had some more problems. Please read.
The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her.
Who is asking question? Sadducees. They do not believe in resurrection. Now, Jesus Christ didn't say, hey, you don't believe in resurrection. Why are you asking the question about the resurrection? Would you like to believe the resurrection? But Jesus Christ didn't say that. He says, Moses says, if one man married and he didn't have a children and he died, so his brother should marry her and first child will be carrying his name. And that's what their law was. And so he said there were seven brothers and seven died and finally she died. Now in heaven or the time of resurrection, whose wife she will be? And that's the same question Americans and some other Christian they have. Some Christian people may have two wives. One died and he married another one. And they said, now when he goes to heaven, whose wife she will be? Because some people are teaching wrong thing. They say when you go to heaven, you have a family, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have children, and you will be like a still, you know, meeting your whole family and things like that. That's partially true. But when you go there, we are all God's children. There is nothing that this was my first wife and I loved her more. Or she said, you were a bad wife, but the second wife was better. So I'm not going to talk to you in heaven. When you go to heaven, you are like an angel. You are not getting married and you are not given in marriage. So Jesus Christ said, you got confused. You people do not know the truth.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.